You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, South Africa's mining sector is looking on, I think, with a degree of anxiety as government unveils proposed amendments to the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act. That's quite a mouthful. Now, these changes aim to revitalize the industry by streamlining regulations, enhancing investment appeal, and also addressing challenges such as illegal mining. That's a big problem in South Africa, as well as artisanal operations. However, concerns linger regarding the potential implications of these reforms on investment to confidence and operational efficiency. And I can think of no better person to turn to for some expert analysis than Peter Major, Director of Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions. He is a seasoned analyst and has been a guest on the program before. So, Peter, from your perspective, and welcome to you, do these proposed amendments effectively address the core issues deterring investment in South Africa's mining sector, or do you have a completely different view?
I think it's exactly the opposite or close, Jeremy. Maybe it's not driving investors further away. They did that about 20 years ago. They took what was a pretty good operating mineral policy and they ripped the engine out of it. And they really haven't replaced the engine yet. They nationalized the mines. They put on a requirement that all mines, existing and new mines, had to have a 30% BE component, equity component. And furthermore, they must spend 70% of all their money to keep running on BEE companies. And so you've really ripped the engine out. You keep changing the tires and you think, oh, now this car is going to go faster because I've changed a couple tires. So they throw in the word investor, but that's it. Nothing they do seems to be attractive to an investor. It doesn't seem to be even designed attractive to an investor. An investor wants to make sure he recoups the money he puts in the investment. He wants to make sure he recoups the cost of capital. You know, you put $100 in, the cost of that capital is 8-12% more wherever you get it from. So no, this, from what I've seen of the new amendments, and I haven't seen them in their entirety yet, it's just bells and whistles changing on a car that still doesn't have an engine.
So, Peter, if, as you say, the engine has been ripped out, what do you see as the immediate consequences for an industry that is already on the back foot?
Well, when you've got a car without an engine and your kids, you put one person in the car and the rest of you get behind and you push it. And that's kind of what's had to happen. Now, what's been pushing this car along have been these extraordinary metal prices and the fact that a lot of these existing mines were so robust, they were constructed so well, so much capital expenditure had been done on them. You can push these cars along, but as soon as you go uphill a little bit, you won't be able to do that. Uphill means these commodity prices just start flattening out. They don't have to fall down very much. They just have to flatten out. But we have been in a 20-year super cycle that coincided with the Minerals Act. And so that was giving a false push that's not sustainable and not real, but it's allowed our mining sector to carry on the last 20 years. It's not growing. In fact, a lot of it's almost gone, like gold. Gold has gone from 600 tons a year to less than 100, from 550,000 employees to 90.
So let's look at a couple of other aspects, Peter, if we can work through them. The other one, which is interesting, is the government's classification of coal, and I quote, as a critical mineral. It is predictably raising eyebrows, and surely this is going to influence this country's position in the global shift towards renewable energy. The counter argument to that, I guess, is that at this point, given energy needs in South Africa, we simply have very little choice but to go in that direction.
Look, that is true, and that's not just for us. It's for a lot of countries. Now, most minerals are critical. You know, iron is critical. You ever try and build a skyscraper without rebar? Vanadium is critical. If you don't add vanadium to your iron, the rebar will crumble, as will the building you're putting up. And you can go down the list. That, theoretically, the least critical mineral would be gold, but because everybody wants it, we have to keep mining it. And it's not very environmentally friendly because you have to go so deep and you have giant fans and hoists and pumps. All minerals are critical to this country because it's our main industry. Now, coal, yeah, until we come up with a better transition, be it uranium, be it natural gas, methane, who knows, you know, is it going to be solar? But you can burn coal much, much cleaner than we've been burning it. So we can keep using it. We can do a better job mining it. But I'll tell you, we were a lot more environmentally friendly when we had a properly run ESKOM and when we had large, well-capitalized coal mines that could do a better job of rehabilitation than the thousands of virtually Zama-Zama and Mafia coal mines we have now.
Well, let's talk about those Zama-Zama or Mafia coal mines. Illegal mining in South Africa, Peter Major, has been a contentious and problematic issue for some time. These amendments also aim to formalize artisanal and small-scale mining. Potential benefits or challenges that you see with this initiative?
I see a lot more challenges than benefits. If you're a small miner, why do you want to be brought into the system? Then you have to pay tax. Then you're subject to all these inspections by the DMR. And you've got to file reports. And then they're going to find out, are you a BE company or are you a non-BE Zama-Zama? You know, who's the ultimate shareholder here? There are so many rules and regulations. People have no idea the thousands of regulations involved in mining. And it's just layer upon layer that keeps being added every year. Most people can't even follow the Ten Commandments. How anybody can follow a couple thousand regulations on mining, I don't know. So there's no incentive for a small miner to come in. And the world was not designed for small mining. The world was not designed for small automobile manufacturing, let alone space travel. And that is a populist image that government puts out to justify and cover up a lot of their nefarious activities. And so I don't see anything bringing a small miner in because it's only going to cost him money and headache.
Peter, just a final one, and very quickly then, what key indicators are you looking at to monitor or assess the effectiveness of these reforms? What are you keeping your eye out on?
Well, if I didn't know any better, if I didn't personally and professionally think these were insignificant or they were negative, I would look for increased new mines, increased exploration, increased development from existing mines, because investors go where they can get a return. And if you just use Zambia and the DRC for an example, once they threw out the bums and their horrible mining policy that they brought in 1970s when they nationalized the mines and put on a lot of other bad conditions, once they threw that out in the new millennium, they both receive tens of billions of dollars. Every year they receive billions of dollars additionally in new investment, new mines. And their production just shows you how much that $10 billion has brought. So their infrastructure still stinks. Their administration is still very inefficient and corrupt. But just because their mining policy changed, they've received tens of billions of dollars each. So it's easy to gauge if your policy is good or bad towards investors.
Always follow the money. Peter Major, Director of Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, thank you very much indeed for the insight. I appreciate your time.